It's only a little interesting having your wife do the children's time right before you, so be prepared to be made fun of. I think that maybe we need to start doing that, JD. I think Carolyn wants to do children's times right before you. We'll start, maybe we add that in. But so it's Grad Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate the graduation. It's, to me, also a transition time. It's a day for our church to reflect on the lives that we've touched, the youth that have went through, and Bailey being the only one that could make it through the second service, a lot of this will be directed just to him. It's like my sermon to Bailey before he leaves. Oh, okay. Our scripture verse today is from Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. This is the word of God for the people of God. So again, to the grad, to the family, to our church, graduation brings many different emotions, right? We have the emotions from celebration to nervousness. And in every season, as you can tell from the fun emojis I found, in every season, we're somewhere on the scale. And sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, that can change. And that's okay. Because as transition comes, as we're in the season of change, it's okay to be all these different emotions and all these different emotions at the exact same time. You have so many questions you're going through. What is next? What is life going to look like? What new job will I have? Will I actually be able to make friends? What college should I go to? Will I have enough money to live on? Will they like me? Will I be able to get good grades? Am I prepared for this next step? All the questions that go through, and using the baseball term that JD introduced, we're simply waiting in the on-deck circle for what's coming next. So I was thinking back to my college days and also to baseball as I've coached in my baseball playing days. Started kind of ironically enough. I was working with a youth group, and the youth pastor's name was Scott Haddix. On Sunday afternoons, I would go and help, and my roommate would go too. And every Sunday, my roommate Ben and the coach and youth pastor, Scott Haddix, would say, hey, you should try out for the Taylor baseball team. And it was not because I was good at baseball. It was, I think, they wanted some comic relief. So they asked and kept asking, oh, please, won't you play? You know, this will be great. Think of the road trips. So needless to say, I succumbed to peer pressure, and I decided to try out. Well, I went quickly the night before the first day of tryouts to buy a mitt because I had left mine up here at home and thought it was vitally important to have a baseball mitt if I was going to try out, and walked into that first day of tryouts, and I quickly found out how over my head I really was. As I'm sitting in a gym and we're in the cage hitting and, you know, every different pitch is coming in and I'm just not even hitting anything, and it was just, I went home and I was sore and it was just a bad first day. And I went back to the dorm room and my roommate said, John, wasn't that awesome? And I, no, it wasn't. And so I ended up, I didn't want to quit. So I decided, well, the team was really, really good and I wasn't going to play anyway. So it will be fun. I'm going to give this a go. And so I continued to go and the season progressed and it was a lot of fun. We had a very talented team. We had a kid that played with us that went on to play for the Louisville national team that traveled around the U.S. and played in all these tournaments. Our third baseman, Josh Peters, ended up in the Minnesota Twins organization. So we had a lot of good talent. Again, I was not one of them. My talents came in a very different form. I mastered many things. I could spit sunflower seeds from 5 feet away and put them into a cup in the dugout. Hey, you laugh, but it was hard to do. You got to take wind into effect. You have all that stuff. It was a hard task, but I worked daily at that every day, every game, until that faithful day. I remember it honestly like it was yesterday. Circleville, Ohio. We had a doubleheader. First game, we did really well. Second game, it's 10-0. It's the third or fourth inning, and I'm thinking, this is great. You know, I had, you know, went through a good half bag of sunflower seeds. This was going to be a win-win. And then I hear the words, Engler, you're in there. Go. You're batting. No, no, I'm not. I don't do that. I sit in the dugout. I cheer. That's what I do. No, no, you're in the game. You're pinch hitting. You're going to go in. So I go over. I grab a helmet. I don't even know if it fit or what. Grab a bat. And I was just a sight as I stepped into the on-deck circle. Mind you, again, I had not got into a game yet. I did not deem it necessary to wear my cleats yet. So I walk into the on-deck circle wearing green tennis shoes. Taylor's colors are purple and gold. I did not match in any way, shape. My shirt's untucked. I'm throwing my shirt in as quick as I can. Next thing I know, I'm in the box. And I'm walking up there with one simple thought: don't embarrass yourself. So I get up there and I'm, okay, I got this. You know, the crowd's behind me, all this. I stand in the batter's box. I'm ready to go. First pitch comes and it's a curveball like I've never seen. I know I'm exaggerating, but it felt like it was 10 feet behind me and just arcing. So what do? You duck and get out of the way. It's coming at me. I dive out of the way and all I hear is this deep bass voice: strike one. Oh, okay. Okay, I can do this. I can do this. I look at my coach, and as all good coaches, you know, you got this, John. You can do this. You can do this. I step back in the box. I'm ready again. Okay? This time I'm smart. No matter what, I'm not moving my feet. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I stand there, another big curveball. I watch that hanging curve come in, right to the mitt. Strike two. Well, I didn't share this first service and all cards on the table. We had a rule for the Taylor baseball team, and a lot of teams have this rule. If you stand and watch strike three, there's usually some sort of punishment, right? There was push-ups. I didn't want to do push-ups. So to my head, I look at my coach. He's, hey, you got this, just like you do every day in practice. Yeah, just like I do. I don't hit the ball in practice either. I'm not going to hit it here. I look at him. Okay, coach, I got you. You know, whatever sign you just did, okay. I'm swinging. I'm not going to do push-ups. I got this. Pitcher, big smile on his face, you know, easy out. I'm thinking it's going to be a curveball again. He knows I can't hit it. I can't do. Okay, so I do what all good hitters do. I close my eyes and pray. To this day, I have no idea how. I don't know if the Holy Spirit, God moved my bat, what happened, but somehow in the midst of my eyes closed, I hear the sound of a bat hitting a ball. I'm as shocked as anybody in the place. Take off running with all my might to first base. The ball's going down first base. Now, if you're a baseball guy and you know, a curveball and the fact that I put it down first base line tells you that I was not swinging in any way, shape, or form the correct way. Because I dipped and it was ugly. But somehow that ball went down first base line, landed just in fair territory, went against the fence, and I'm going, and again, a man of my speed, you don't hear this often, take two, take two, take two. I take everything in me. I'm going to second base with all my might, and I'm here, down, slide, slide. Oh, no. In all my days of practice and everything that I did with sunflower seeds, there was never a day that I practiced sliding. So in my head, it looked awesome. It was the greatest slide in the world. It was, you know, my childhood hero, Chet Lemon, used to have those amazing slides into second base. That's what I look like, just so you know. I'm glad that social media was not around back then to film it. In my head, I'm sticking with the fact it was this perfect slide. I stand up, I look in the dugout, and of course, every teammate of mine is doing that half laugh, half cheer thing. Like, I can't believe, how did he get on second base? And I'm standing there, I look down, blood running down my leg, because I did not slide the correct way. I did some sort of weird flop onto second base. Okay, I'm there. Good, I'm good to go. I survived. I'm bleeding, but I survived. Thinking, if there, you know, God, if I can just ask a little favor here, there's two outs, let the next guy strike out. Let him get out, because I don't want to do anything more. Well, very first pitch, tsh, off the bat. Line shot to the gap. Anywhere else, I was safe just jogging to third base. To the gap, I got a sprint. To my dismay, the coach, you're scoring, you're scoring. Everything in me runs around third base. Again, I'm thinking, I don't know how to slide. I'm bleeding out my leg. What am I going to do here? Well, there's a great person back in the day, you might know Ricky Henderson. He made diving headfirst slides very famous. In my head, I'm going to headfirst slide. This will look good. My slide ended up looking like, well, let's just say a fish out of water. I some sort of flopped on my stomach. My feet went up over my head. All this, the cloud of dust. And when everything kind of relaxed and went, I don't know if the catcher, the dust in his eyes, if he was laughing hysterically at me, the ball got by him, and luckily enough, because I ended up with my hand 3 inches from home plate. I never even got to the home plate. So I ended up having to bear crawl up to home plate, touch home plate, went in the dugout and went, this is horrible. I was so embarrassed. Luckily, our team mercied them, so I did not have to go out and play the field because I was just going to get heckled from everybody. It was just a bad overall experience. But see, because here in this story, where my biggest mistake came was I assumed that by putting on the uniform, I was ready. I assumed that because I had the Taylor colors, I was ready to go. I didn't have my jersey tucked. I didn't have cleats. I didn't do anything that all prepared myself for that very moment when I would get in the game. From that day on, I would like to say that I did take baseball a lot more serious. And it didn't turn around right away for me. The end of that year, I had the wonderful stat line of one for whatever with that double. That was my lone hit for the entire first year. But I worked hard, and I continued to work hard. I continued to prepare myself. As the years went on, I ended up actually getting to play baseball and actually started most of my games my senior year. So Thanks, Bailey. I actually worked hard, and I would like to say that I never had embarrassing moments, but I had other ones that I'll save for another day. But I also had wonderful things that happened because I was willing to work hard and I was willing to prepare myself. So looking through graduation Sunday and looking at us as a church in these times of transitions and change, I came across a wonderful coaching website. It said, here are 3 ways to succeed at baseball, starting from the on-deck circle. So the very first one was physically loosen up your muscles. So I'm not saying in order to come to church, we need to have a calisthenic time and stretching out. But what I am saying is just like when you're batting, you're going to be put in uncomfortable positions in this world. You're going to walk into the next season of your life, and if you're ill-prepared for that, you're going to be like me and you're going to fail, and hopefully you don't bleed like I did. But you're going to fail. You're going to fall apart. You need to make sure that you are ready to go, that you're physically ready to go. Your mind is spiritually strengthened in a way that you're ready to go. As the grads are heading off to college, or as we have different transitions, are you ready for that very next step? In Deuteronomy 6, talks about being in that life. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and strength. Talk about him in your home, when you walk, along the road, lying down or getting up. Do what is right and good, so it will go well for you. You need to make sure you're ready. Make sure you take God with you and make sure you're stretched your mind in Christ and you're ready to move on. The number 2 key that they talk about on how to succeed in baseball that I'm going to correlate here is get the timing and find the pitcher's release point. One of my favorite baseball players is Miguel Cabrera. One of the things that I was extremely impressed by with Miguel is obviously he's just a wonderful athlete, and he's probably one of the best hitters currently in the game and probably of all time. But as I was watching a story about him, it was the amount of time he spends behind the scenes, the amount of time he spends in the film room, watching pitchers over and over and over. One of his co-players that talk about Miguel, one of the things he said in there is, you can almost tell when Miguel has it locked in. He knows what pitch the pitcher is going to throw before he even throws it. He spent so much time preparing. He knows the pitcher's release point. He knows by that arm angle what exactly is coming in. He knows that it's going to be a curve. He knows that it's going to be a slider, or whatever the pitch is. He's ready for it. We need to be the same way. When life throws us that curve, we need to be ready. When we think we have life figured out and we have a plan, it might be our first plan and it's God's plan B. Or God makes our plan B our plan A. And he switches stuff around. We need to be willing. Whatever God has in store for us, we need to be willing. We need to be ready for it. Before I came to this church, I had a lot of plan A's, a lot of things that I thought I was going to end up doing. But God's plan A was for me to be here. I wasn't expecting it, but I feel like I was ready. We need to be ready for that. The last one is, be aware of the game situation and what you might be walking into. I think it's really ironic when parents or youth talk to me and they say, you know, kids aren't ready when they go off to college. Well, let's look at it this way. We're sending hundreds of thousands of 18-year-olds to all live together in one dorm room and expect them to make good decisions. We're setting them up to fail. We need to be active in our training. We need to be ready. I've talked to the youth since the day that I've got here about leaving a legacy, pursuing Christ's love, being prepared for when you get in situations that feel uncomfortable. That's the training we need. We need to know what we're walking into. We need to be aware that situations, not just for our grads, but each of us, we need to understand the situation that we're walking into and be prepared for it. We need to be ready. Just like in baseball, if you're on second base and there's two outs, you know you're supposed to run on contact. We need to have it that same just memory, muscle memory, when situations happen to us spiritually. We need to be ready. So not only leaving a legacy, but being a consistent life of Christ-like love and purity. Getting back to that first story, when I decided to play baseball, I thought I knew the outcome. I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know what it was like to actually be playing and being prepared and being ready. I had a theory of what it was like, but I was far, far wrong. As we as a church, you as an individual walk into this different season, I want you to understand something. I want you to know that it's okay. It's okay to be on that spectrum of emotion. It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to celebrate. Those are all okay things. And also, I want you to understand something, that baseball, I love baseball, I love softball, but it's one of the few sports. If you bat 300 in baseball, you are considered a successful batter, right? You're considered one of the best. That's getting a hit one out of every three times. You are failing more than you're succeeding, and yet you're a success. It's okay that you're going to fail. To our grads, to you, to myself, it's okay to fail. The question is, how are you picking yourself back up? There's a Toby Mac quote that Chris has put, and I feel like if I'm going to do a grad Sunday, I got to share a Toby Mac quote. It's from one of his songs. You may be knocked down, but you're not out forever. It's okay to get knocked down. That's what you're training in this church for the grads, and that's what we come to church for on Sundays. It's okay to be knocked down. It's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up. But we're here as a congregation to pick each other up. Your training, the lessons and the stories that you've learned as you've grown up in this church, all the people around has poured into these grads. That's all to prepare them for those trials. That's all to prepare you for the times when you get knocked down. It's okay. The promise is in how you get back up and how you continue to fight. The promise is continuing to be so much more. We are called as a church to so much more. We are called as the youth group, as they go off to college, to be a difference maker. God has a call for each and every person in this room to be more, to not just walk through it, but to step into the on-deck circle being ready to face the trials, being ready so when your world just gets shaken with something that just seems unfathomable, that God is there to pick you back up. And you have friends, you have people in this church that are there to pick you back up. We can succeed, we can be a light, and we can reflect, as I've shared with you many, many times, our job is not to be the sun, but to reflect the sun. To reflect the sun back to this lost and hurting world. That is my hope, not just for our grads, but that's my hope for my church, this church, to you. Reflect Christ in everywhere we go. Be okay. Be willing to fail. Be willing to fall down. And let that be an example of standing back up. Let that be an example of being a difference maker in this world. Pray with me, won't you? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for these grads. I thank you for the seven of them that were here this morning to celebrate from grad breakfast to getting done with commencement just a few days ago. All the different wonderful things going on and all this time of celebration. God, this time turns now to nerves, to nervousness, to being afraid of what might come next. You've well equipped them to go forward and be a difference maker. You've poured into them their love through so many different people in this church. Continue to be with them as they go forward. Continue to be with us as we do our best to reflect you to this lost and hurting world. It's in your name. Amen.